You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Tuesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Actor Josh Duhamel, friend of the show, will join us coming up a little bit. Got a new movie out. I think he's the front runner for the Heisman, Kyle Trask, the University of Florida. It's his Heisman to lose. He'll join us coming up a little bit later on. We'll check in with Michigan head basketball coach Tom Izzo here in a moment. Your headlines, the Rams beat the Bucks 27-24. We found out that Joe Burrow's knee injury is much worse than we thought. I thought when I saw it, and having been through a few of these knee surgeries, that there was more damage in there than was being let on initially. You don't know it until you go in there, and then you find out if there's structural damage, MCL, PCL, ACL. You can throw it all in there, lump it all together, and I think Joe Burrow's got at least another 9 months here before he's able to be ready for football, ready for contact, maybe even longer than that. The Rockets signed Boogie Cousins yesterday, which came out of nowhere. And the Ravens have lost their running backs to COVID. They're down to their third-string running back for the showdown with the Steelers coming up on Thursday. NCAA rankings tonight. The SEC moving more games around. Poll question, McLovin.
Will Tom Brady win a playoff game? 58% say no.
Well, I'm going to reserve judgment on that right now. If you said, is he going to win one? I'll say yes. But I don't think they're anywhere near the favorites for the Super Bowl right now. Even though they've blown out the Packers, they were blown out by the Saints. I'm not quite sure how good they are right now. But trying to figure out what your offense is at the midway point to where it's going to be in, say, 4 or 5 weeks, I think it's going to be critical for this team. The defense needed to step up last night as well. Brady did throw 2 interceptions. But the Rams are winning with great defense right now. And they're on the short list of teams that are winning with defense, although they did throw the ball quite a lot last night with Jared Goff. You know, Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp played really well. They didn't have any running game there, but it was enough, and that's a big win, winning on the road in Tampa in prime time. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle with DP Show. Say good morning to those watching on Peacock and those listening on our great radio affiliates around the country. Last season, Michigan State went 22-9. They will open up tomorrow against Eastern Michigan, currently ranked 13th in the nation, and their longtime head coach, Tom Izzo, joining us. Coach, how you feeling?
Feeling better, Dan. Thanks. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, but you had COVID. How bad was it?
You know, it wasn't real bad, but it was no joke either. You know, I listen to people talk about how it just comes and goes. It took me 12, 13 days, and I was quarantined for 11 of them. And then I just, never felt real, real bad, thank God, but never felt comfortable either. So I'm glad I'm heading down the right direction the last 2-3 days. I've actually been in practice yesterday, full go. Plan on being there today, and I don't know. I plan on being there tomorrow. So that's the game plan right now.
What are the protocols there for your team? Day in and day out?
We get tested every day here. We're in that antigen testing. So we're testing every morning at 7:30 in the morning. And I think that helped because it helps for the contact tracing as far as the spreading of the disease, or the virus. But right now we've had some kids that had it early, like in September when school started. And we've been pretty COVID free other than this crazy coach, you know, and I think I went through every protocol that I could go through and still have it.
As far as fans in the stands, will there be fans?
No, we're not. You know, most of the Big Ten, I don't think will, but it does go more by state, as you know. And so right now for us in Michigan, I think the protocol here is there'll be no fans in the stands.
As far as trying to bubbleize this season or, you know, what are we doing with March Madness? Where do you stand on this of trying to get this season in and doing it as safely as possible?
Well, I'm big on trying to get the season in, and I'm big on trying to do it as safely as possible. I'm a mask wearer myself, and yet it didn't serve me as well as I'd hoped. But, I think until we get to the brunt of it, then that is going to be get the young kids to, who don't get as sick maybe, but are transmitting it. You see what we're in right now in our country, and I don't want to get into all the political stuff because I'm not a politician. All I know is that I believe we've got to take care of ourselves and worry about the people around us. And if we do that, I think we'll be able to manage it. I really do.
How do you get this message through to an 18-year-old?
Well, I got one at home, a 20-year-old, a 19-year-old, I guess, and I've got a 24-year-old. And, of course, I've got a 15, 17 to 22-year-olds every year of my life in this job. And, you know, you beg, borrow, you steal, you plead, you get other people to tell stories. You look at what's out there. I scour all places like yours. And, you know, when you guys have stories about different things, good, bad, and indifferent, I just try to relate them, because me lecturing them doesn't really do it. But the NBA has helped me, Dan, because of the bubble they did. And I said, if LeBron James can spend 3 months without seeing his family or friends, you know, it's part of sacrificing. And sacrificing isn't a word. Accountability and sacrifice, I think, left the Webster's Dictionary in the last couple of years. So we've got to get that back a little bit. There's got to be a little sacrifice for all of us. And this is how I try to preach it to our players.
How's recruiting changed?
A lot of Zoom, just like I'm doing with you. You know, can I sign you?
I got 1 year of eligibility left.
Yeah, but the gene pool has been shrinking over the years.
Wow.
I know. Wow. But, hey, your team last year, boy, I tell you what, you had the best, maybe the best team in the country. And, you know, it was a shame it ended that way. But for us, recruiting has gone pretty well. I think people like hearing me on Zoom better than they do seeing me in person, because we've actually had a pretty good recruiting year.
You got Imani Bates. He's given a verbal commitment to Michigan State for 2022.
Well, I can't talk about anybody who has not signed. So
okay, so even a verbal commitment, you can't talk about somebody. Okay. Ooh.
Don't make me violate,
no, Dan. No. I don't want to get you in trouble there. I was just curious, because it seems like this recruit, a possible recruit, could be like a LeBron James type of talent there. But when you're selling, are you selling to parents more on Zoom, or are you selling to the kid?
You know, it's been interesting. The one advantage I think we've had in our recruiting right now is you're dealing more with parents and the kid compared to, you know, when you're allowed out and there's so many people involved, there's a, you know, a posse of people involved in this recruiting. And I think this has kind of caused everybody to home into family. And it's that's worked better for us, to be honest with you. And I think a lot of people. So hopefully it brings things back in order. That would be great, I think, for the recruiting process in general.
Where are we headed with college basketball and the styles in college basketball? Because I don't know if college emulates the NBA or is it vice versa, but where are we with the three-pointer, you know, that philosophy, shoot 7 seconds or less? Is college basketball embracing that?
You know, it's been funny to watch, because I'm with you. You know, you watch – you're seeing these quarterbacks in the NFL, and it's almost like the NFL is starting to embrace college, where normally the pecking order is we do what the pros do, and then it filters down into the high schools. And but I think there is more three-point shooting in college. I think, you know, it's just the way the game is. It seems like you're either dunking or shooting a three. The mid-range game of Michael Jordan and guys like that is kind of disappearing. But I think you're going to see the big man come back a little bit. I really do. I don't think it's going to be all run and gun and shoot and that's how you're going to win. I mean, the Rockets, you know, weren't as successful doing that. You know, I think the team that really I've appreciated, probably because I got Draymond there, but, you know, when you look at Golden State, they shoot a lot of threes, but they run a lot. They did to get the ball inside, and they're very good defensively.
Yeah.
And I think that's what gets lost in the shuffle. Everybody thinks it's just an offensive game now. I think the Lakers won because they were very good defensively. I think Miami got to the finals because they were very good defensively.
Give me the player that you're I don't want to say shocked. That's not fair to the player, but you're really surprised that what you saw in college, he's so much better than that in the pros.
Wow. You know, you mean one of my players?
No. Somebody, yeah. Anybody you coached against where you went, wow, I did not see that coming. Like Klay Thompson, I did not see that coming.
I would agree to that. We didn't play against Klay, but, you know, I didn't see that. Steph Curry, I didn't see that coming, like what he's done. It's fun to watch guys. You know, I recruited the Booker kid, and I thought he'd be a good player, but he's turning out to be a phenomenal player. You know, it's fun to watch guys that, you know, you thought would be good players and get to be great players. And I don't know, that was a tough question right off the go. But I think guys that are getting better in college every year have a tendency to get better in pro bowl every year. And it's been fun to watch the resurgence. Like I really enjoyed watching Miami this year.
Yeah.
They play so hard. They're so tough. They're so Pat Riley-ish and their head coach Bolstra, you know, it was almost like give Jimmy Butler a lot of credit. He reinvented himself, and it was a fun team to watch.
But also, I look at LeBron, and when I talk to younger basketball players, I say, always add something. Keep adding something. Keep adding something. The great players keep adding. You know, Mike would take you down on the blocks, and Jordan added that late to his game. Kobe did the same thing. Magic developed a little bit better jump shot or set shot there. And then you see LeBron. LeBron is going to extend his greatness by extending his ability to shoot the three-point shot. He doesn't have to go in and dunk, and he's still one of the great passers of all time. And I always say, look to those guys. They kept adding. And sometimes players get to a certain level, and then they stop. And as a coach, how do you get them to take that next step to go, you were great in high school. That doesn't mean anything once you get to college. And then when you get to the pros.
Well, I think what I've learned about LeBron or Kobe Bryant, you're right. They add to their game, but you know what they've added to more than anything is to their bodies. They take care of themselves. You know, I mean, kids nowadays are reckless, you know, and I think, you know, in LeBron James, what he's done with his body and what he's invested, if you read anything about him, is incredible. I mean, yes, he's added a jump shot. He's a better jump shooter. But I think the two intangibles that separate LeBron James right now is physically his body, how he's kept it, and his leadership skills. I mean, I watch different guys go to them, and they just become better players when they're around him. He has a way of demanding but not being abrasive. I don't know what he's like when you're there, but his leadership skills. So as guys develop things, a lot of times the last thing they want to develop is leadership skills or their own personalities. You know, I hear a lot from parents, well, that's his personality. Well, you want me to change his jump shot? You want me to change his strength? You want me to change his ball handling skills? Sometimes his personality is what separates the Tom Brady's or the LeBron James or Magic Johnson was, you know, one of the ultimate leaders who makes people around him better. And that's a hard skill to find right now, Dan.
Do you have that kind of green carpet at home?
No, I just got it right here, man. And I'm going to send you some if you want it. Oh, it would go good with your ensemble there that you got.
Has anything been thrown in that office before?
Oh, yeah, that couple of those chairs, you know. Yeah, you know, we're in the Big Ten, so we, you know, ask Bobby Knight, we throw chairs and stuff. But it's been a fun office. When I look back, I've been in this office now 21 years of my 25, and a lot of great guys have come through it. A lot of interesting late-night meetings in this office, but it's been fun.
What's the coolest thing in your office?
The coolest thing in my office? Geez, I don't know. It's probably a picture of my parents. You know, I miss my dad, and I think of them often. But I got a lot of cool things in here. There's memories and a lot of guys that help make me who I am. So I get to be on your show.
Well, Coach, good luck tomorrow night. More importantly, the entire season, Eastern Michigan against Michigan State. Good to talk to you again, Coach. Glad you're feeling better.
Well, thanks, Dan. Keep masking up. Stay safe. And I'll look forward to seeing you down the road.
And maybe one day we can talk about that basketball recruit that could be coming in 2022.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, Coach. So as soon as I said the name, Imani Bates, I get to see Coach's face like, nope, can't go down that road. I didn't know with a verbal recruit, you can't even do that with Imani Bates. But, hey, if he gets Imani Bates even for 1 year, good for him. I don't know. By that point, are we going to be going right from high school to the pros, McLevin?
I've just tried to research that, and it's so confusing. I don't know what the deal is. And his, there's a lot of question about what class Amani Bates is.
Well, I thought he was going to declassify for 2022 to go to 2021.
You could declassify as a basketball rookie?
I have no idea.
Could we have done that in high school? When I was 16, I said, hey, I'm going to sit out my senior year and go to college a year early. Can you do that? Like a GED?
Well, you
got to
graduate.
Oh.
Yeah. But if you, I mean, I guess you can if you
want
to. I
probably needed a fifth year of high school.
Yeah,
I
do.
Just look at it that way.
Yeah, it's McLovin.
We're raising the bar pretty high for this Amani Bates kid.
Well.
I mean, you mentioned LeBron-like at one point. I mean, hype-wise, yes.
But. Yes, yes. I watched him play the other night. He's a great talent. He's 16 years of age. He's been on basketball's radar for probably 5 years. I mean, it's been pretty incredible that, and I don't know if you ever live up to it. Like LeBron lived up to the hype. How many of these guys, Bryce Harper, he lived up to the hype. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a 16-year-old. LeBron lived up to the hype. But it's really hard to do. You know, Jabari Parker did not live up to the hype. He got injured, but he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He was around 16 or 17 years of age. Yeah, McLovin.
This kid, Chet Holmgren, who we talked about, who played Amani Bates, a seven-footer white guy.
Yeah.
I've seen a bunch of videos of him getting dunked on Sean Bradley style because he's got these skinny arms.
Yes.
But I'm asking you to evaluate these 16-year-olds.
Well, he's a seven-footer, weighs 200 pounds. But he has a handle. He's handling the ball as the point guard. And he's got some attitude. He's got some athleticism. And I think he's undecided on where he's going, but man, I saw where Georgetown was one of the teams on the list, but it's interesting to see. Like, you can't help but look at him and think Porzingis, just with his size and his build. Porzingis has added some muscle, but this is a legit seven-footer who can handle and cross you over. And I think he did that one time to Amani Bates. Like, he crossed over and went down and then dunked. Yeah, Paulie.
Usually you want to play a guy in basketball named Chet. Chet's an easy matchup. Guys named Chet usually can't hoop.
I got Chet. I was always the guy that they go, I got him. I got this guy. And I'd be like, yeah, not so quick there. You know, you wanted somebody to go, I got him and I got him and I got, hey, you're going to have to take him. Like, that's what you wanted to hear. I'd be like, hey, all right, let's just pick. Let's, who do we got? I got him. I go, well, damn, I'm a little too quick saying you wanted to guard me. All right, we'll take a break. Phone call's coming up. We'll talk to Josh Duhamel, has a new movie out. And about an hour from now, Kyle Trask, Florida Gators quarterback, will join us as well. 19 after the hour, Aaron Rodgers on the program tomorrow. And at least that's the schedule. We're planning on having Aaron Rodgers on the program. Right, Tom?
We are. I know he lost, and sometimes you know how that goes, but I haven't heard anything otherwise. I think he's a stand-up guy. He likes you. He'll still come on.
Yeah. Well, I think he's giving away... Well, I can't say the gift that he's given away, can I?
No.
I think you can't.
You can't talk about
can.
Amani Bates, and you can't talk about Aaron Rodgers' gifts.
I don't think it's a surprise.
Well, he's giving his offensive lineman. You know what? Let me wait for him to say it. I don't want to say it. I don't want him to go, I'm not going on. Dan blew the Christmas surprise for my offensive lineman. All right, we'll take a break here. Coming up on 20 after the hour, this is The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. This program brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. What's the difference between an AMG skeptic and an AMG believer? A split second. The time it takes to fire up the ignition, step on the gas, and hear that gutsy engine roar, go to mbusa.com/AMG. Mercedes-AMG. Driving performance. He's Josh Duhamel, back on the program. Got a new movie. It's called Buddy Games. And it's after a falling out, six lifelong friends reunite to play the Buddy Games, an insane competition filled with the absurd physical and mental challenges. Now all bets are off as the determined pals fight, claw, and party for the chance to win $150,000. How did I do with that voiceover there, Josh?
That was beautiful. You know, I almost wish I'd have made a different creative decision there, Dan.
And had me voice it over?
Exactly.
I could do it. I always wanted to, you know what, DVD commentary, but I always wanted to do that in a world. And then that's how all these movie trailers start, in a world.
Yeah. You know, those guys who do those make a lot of money. Yeah. That would be a good side hustle for you.
Yeah.
And you could do it.
I'd like that. We spent the last 4 minutes prior to you coming on Googling who you're dating. McLovin, who is Josh dating right now?
Well, I have a, you know, it's hard to keep track of this, but Audra Molly?
Mari, yeah.
Is she from North Dakota?
She is from North Dakota.
Is she there?
She's there now, yes. I was just there 2 days ago.
Oh, but she's not there at your place.
No, she's not. She's actually in Fargo.
Okay, but you couldn't date somebody from South Dakota, could you?
Well, I could date somebody from anywhere, but I choose to date her.
Well, I know, but you're from North Dakota. Would you date somebody from South Dakota?
That would be weird, no?
No, it wouldn't. I don't know. Do you have something against South Dakota?
I have nothing against South Dakota. You know, she's actually got a place. Her family has a lake cabin like less than an hour from mine out there. And I didn't know that when I first met her. It was sort of a chance, you know, one of those lucky little circumstances.
But not wedding bells. We're dating.
Dan, really?
What? I'm going to plug the movie, but I got to get a little gossip in here. I got to make Entertainment Tonight. Come on.
She is a keeper. I'll put it that
okay.
way. She's All definitely right. a keeper.
How's Axel doing?
He's doing great. He's still asleep. We went to bed a little late last night. I was up. I was gone all day yesterday doing press for this movie, and he was he wanted some daddy time. So we spent we watched the Hotel for Dogs last night.
Ooh.
You know, and we stayed up a little past his bedtime. So he's still sleeping. No school this week.
Does he know what you do for a living?
Sure. He hasn't seen this movie, though. He probably won't for another 10 years.
All right. You got some big stars in here. You got Olivia Munn. You got Kevin Dillon, Nick Schwartzen, Dax Shepard. Pretty good list there. Now, do you have to go recruit him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a whole horse trade right there. I had to get, because, you know, you have to get certain people with a certain, what they call Q number, which means they have a certain international value. And Dax and Olivia had enough to sort of get me greenlit for this movie. So I went to Olivia and I said, "Hey, Olivia, Dax is in. If you want to join." And then I went to Dax and said, "Hey, Dax, Olivia's in." So I had to pull every trick in the book to get this thing made.
but the Q rating, explain that though. Is that how movies are made, or some movies that may not get made, they get made because of somebody's Q rating who comes in?
Yes. I mean, I really don't agree with this whole formula that they go by, because I don't think, what somebody's Q rating in Germany and somebody's Q rating in Korea, how that helps make a better movie. I'd rather get the right two people for the movie than, you know, depend on something foreign. But what they do is they can then pre-sell all the money. It's sort of like hedging their bet before they even finance the movie.
We're talking to Josh Duhamel. The movie is called Buddy Games. When's it? Is it released the Thanksgiving weekend?
Today.
Oh,
today. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So we got a great release. We're on. This is the best weekend we could have asked for, honestly.
Yeah.
400 screens right now, which is good considering, you know, what we're in the middle of. So yeah, it's as you know, this has been a long time coming. This has been something I've had to, you know, push and pull and drag and kick for years to get it done. And it's been, I just can't wait for people to see it now.
Is there a love scene with you?
Yes, there is a love scene. It's really romantic. You should check it out.
Well, give me a little bit more than that. Is there a woman involved?
All right. So it's me and Olivia, and we're at my parents' place on a Sunday morning for brunch, and she decides to spice things up a little bit. So she sort of stops me in the bathroom as I'm washing my hands, and it sort of happens right there. So yeah, it's not the most romantic love scene you've ever seen. And the scene itself, I'm sort of looking at myself. There's a picture of myself as a child as I'm doing it. And I have to stop because it's too uncomfortable. I feel like I'm staring, my childhood self is staring at me.
But are they always awkward when you do love scenes?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're not nearly as fun as they might look on screen, because, you know, you've got a bunch of hairy camera dudes around, and, you know, your sound guys, and, you know, there's grips and gaffers all around. So it's never as sort of sensual as it might appear on screen. It's pretty uncomfortable, actually.
Well, I was in a Sandler movie, Blended, and I had to kiss a woman, and I just met her, a Wendy Covey McClendon, I think, from the Goldbergs.
Oh, yeah.
So Sandler says, it's not in the script. And then Sandler goes, Danny, I think you need to kiss Wendy. And I mean, I didn't know her. And next thing I know, you know, Sandler goes, okay, action. And then I'm kissing Wendy Covey McClendon. And I go, how awkward is this? But it's not like that with you guys. Like, you know Olivia Munn, don't you?
Well, yes, I do know Olivia. But, you know, sometimes that's the way it is, that awkward, because I've done things where, you know, as you know, they shoot these things out of order. And I've had scenes where I just met the girl 5 minutes earlier, and we have to do like the love scene first day of the first, you know, of shooting. So it's not the worst, but it's just truly part of the job.
Wendy McClendon Covey, Fritzy is telling me. I had it in reverse order. So Wendy McClendon Covey, very talented woman from the Goldbergs. How would you assess your Vikings?
Well, we are, you know, I just feel like the Vikes this year, for whatever reason, we got off to a really slow start. Won, what, 2 games in a row, almost 3 games in a row, and then lose to the Cowboys last week. So I don't feel like this is probably our year. I never count them out, but I don't know. Until we get that quarterback that I feel like can put us over the top, I don't think it's going to be any different than any of years past.
Oh, so you're off the Kirk Cousins bandwagon.
I have been for a couple of years now.
You have. I remember talking to Josh when he left the stadium after that was a playoff game, right? A couple of years ago.
That was in Minnesota after Walsh missed that 24-yard field goal.
The Seattle game.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Oh God. It's like there's a new way. They find a new way to break your heart every year.
And then he calls, and then I know that he just lost in dramatic fashion. And, you know, just like I miss that hurt as a fan. I don't have that because I don't root for anybody. I root for a storyline. But to have the high when it's really high,
yeah.
But also that pain, the reason why it hurts so much is you care so much.
Yeah. And, you know, Russell Wilson just has our number. He's been doing this now for a few years. He did it again this year. I don't know if you remember the game. It was a game like 3 or game 4. Dude just has the ability to take a team back. And that to me is what the Vikings are missing, is that quarterback who can, you know, that if there's 2 minutes left, your team still has a shot, you know, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or, you know, Brady, although he didn't play great last night. You know, guys like Russell Wilson, you just know that those guys are going to give you a shot.
But does it hurt knowing that Green Bay still has Aaron Rodgers?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, they've had a top quarterback now for 20-some years, haven't they?
Now, you didn't bring up Rodgers to Olivia Munn, did you?
No, why would I?
Wait, didn't she date? She dated Aaron Rodgers.
Are you asking me if I whispered that in her ear while we were
No, I was just curious if it came, because you're a Viking fan. She dated Aaron Rodgers. I didn't know if that would come up in conversation, break the ice a little bit.
Yeah, we talked about it. I mean, I love Aaron. I think that he's, you know, he's truly one of the greatest arm talents I've ever seen. So as a football fan, I wanted to pick her brain about him. So, you know, what was he like? What did he look like? I didn't ask her that.
I didn't think so. the movie with you got Kevin Dillon in here too from Entourage, Dax Shepard, Olivia Munn, and Nick Schwartz. And Schwartz's great. He's crazy.
Yeah, he's crazy, all right. But he's fantastic in this movie. He was the first guy on board when we first wrote it, and you know this is I'm truly excited for people to see it because it. We've shown it now in a few theaters, and it absolutely kills. It's extreme though, Dan. I'm going to warn you. We push the envelope. My favorite movies are movies like, you know, The Hangover and Old School and Dumb and Dumber. So I wanted to do something that sort of pushes the envelope, like those, like Phillips and Farrelly Brothers, those directors do. And, you know, it works. And I'm excited for people to see this thing after all these years.
Yeah, it's been a while. You've been talking about this for 5 years. You know,
yeah. So that's because of a certain, there's a few reasons for that. It was, we ended up, I won't get into the legal stuff, but we, control the movie now. And, you know, with COVID and everything else, we had to push it back to now, but ultimately we couldn't have asked for a better date. I mean, I'm really excited about this weekend and, you know, it's the perfect Thanksgiving movie.
It sounds like it. Yeah. Fun for the entire family. Happy Thanksgiving. And I think either you're ready to blow a kiss to me or your screen just froze up. Say hello to Axel and thank you, Josh. That's
are you there? You are.
Yeah. You froze on me.
All right, man.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You going to be at the AT&T this year?
I don't know. We're trying to figure that out. I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to travel with the entire group here.
Well, I'd sure love to see you there, man.
Well, it would be great. And we would love to go, but I'm not quite sure. But have a great Thanksgiving. Right. Great to talk to you. Good luck with the movie.
All right, brother. Thanks for having me.
That's Josh Duhamel. He's actor, writer, producer, director. And the movie is Buddy Games. His screen froze. At least I thought it did. And I wasn't sure. It looked like he was blowing a kiss this way. Yes, McLovin.
Yesterday, we did a little tech test, and one Danette pulled a joke about 7 times where he just pretended to freeze. Can you guess who?
Guess who was so excited to finally be on Zoom 11 months into a pandemic?
Paulie.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of Zooming. We were doing a Zoom test yesterday.
I was like, oh my God, what is it, February? And good God.
Every 3 minutes, I would just go like this.
Well, but Paulie,
okay, Paul.
Paulie came into the man cave when you guys were doing remote, and I never saw Paulie via remote, you know, Zoom during the show.
You didn't have like Zoom meetings during the week or anything?
No.
Oh man.
No. Paulie would just say, I'm coming into the studio, and I went, okay.
Every 30 seconds he'd be like this, Paul would be talking. Like, okay, Paul, yeah, we get it.
I can guarantee I got a text from Josh Duhamel saying, what's up? Why, asking me about the girlfriend there.
He goes, oh, jeez.
I know.
Well, we baited him. We said, you're dating the girl from South Dakota? No, North Dakota. Oh, thanks, Josh, for correcting.
Isn't she like Miss World?
Miss Universe,
Miss
yeah.
something?
Miss Universe. She was North Dakota.
Oh, North Dakota. Okay. Yeah. Guy's got it tough. Got it really tough. All right, phone calls coming up next here. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Dallas Cowboys have canceled practice today. The schedule change is due to a non-COVID-related medical emergency involving a staff member. Mike McCarthy's morning news conference has been canceled as well. I saw this from Andrew Brandt, and Andrew, very sharp guy for the Monday morning quarterback, used to work in the front office with the Green Bay Packers. He says, imagine suggesting that the Eagles trade Carson Wentz next season. You'll take a $60 million dead cap charge on a potential $180 million cap for a player who won't be there. Then he goes, reality, people, period. They're not trading Carson Wentz. The question is Jalen Hurts going to get some playing time the second half of the season? And I disagree with Doug Peterson, the Eagles head coach, that, hey, if we go to Jalen Hurts and we bench Carson Wentz, that means we're giving up. No, that means you're exploring every option you have to try to continue to win and win that division. If you get 2 more wins, you might be hosting a playoff game. If you get 3 wins, you can have a parade, have another statue out front. Let's get some phone calls in here. Chris in California. Hi, Chris. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. So I have 2 things for you. One is today's my birthday, but I wanted to give you a shout out and say thank you for everything that you do during the pandemic. And and then some, because you are awesome and top of the bar at what you do. So I just wanted to say thank you. And two is, I wanted to ask you a question in my Ed Ogeron voice.
All right.
If that's possible.
Okay.
So, Don, you ask everybody how they what's their favorite memorabilia in their man cave. I would like to ask you what your favorite memorabilia is. And want to say, good Tigers. I love you.
All right. Thank you, Chris. That's Chris in California. It sounded a little bit more like Cookie Monster, but the Go Tigers, the very end. I like that. Favorite piece of memorabilia in here? Is that what he was saying in the man cave? Oh, it changes almost monthly here with what I... There's too many things in here. We got way too many pieces of memorabilia. Yeah, Paulie.
I like when people send us stuff that's original. Did Mark Cuban send us a letter from the commissioner where he's fined like $100,000?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark Cuban sent us that. And that's cool because that's one of one off his desk. And I think that Jim Parsons sent us the script from, was it the script from the 100th episode of?
Oh, that's a pretty good one.
Big Bang Theory?
Yeah. That's a really good one.
Yeah, I got this from Cuban. This is a letter on NBA Association letterhead. It's October 8, 2004. It says, by Federal Express from Mark Cuban. He's being fined. As we discussed, you made a number of critical comments to the media earlier this week about the new collectively bargained training camp rules that were negotiated by the NBA Labor Relations Committee. These comments are part of a repeated pattern of statements and conduct that are prejudicial and detrimental to the best interests of the NBA. Accordingly, pursuant to Article 35A, C, and D of the NBA Constitution, you are hereby fined $100,000. Please remit this sum to the NBA no later than Friday, October 22nd, 2004. Sincerely. So Cuban sent me this because I said, how many letters do you have where you've been fined? And he said, well, a few of them. I said, well, then send me one. And so we got that one sent to us back in 2004. Yes, Paulie.
We have a Lance Armstrong yellow jersey from the Tour de France. You know, each stage you win, you get a yellow jersey. You asked Lance Armstrong a long time ago, where are all the yellow jerseys? He's got tons of them.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, most of them are in a pile in the garage. And you said, can you take one off the top and send it? He goes, yeah, sure. Looking to get rid of them.
Well, you know what? Speaking of stuff in the garage, Carson Palmer's Heisman. The fact that that is his Heisman trophy when he was at USC. And he hasn't asked for it back, and I don't want to bring it up to him. But when I ask him, I said, where's your Heisman? He goes, oh, it's out in the garage. I said, well, if you're not using it, send it. And he goes, all right, give me your address. And then he shipped it here, this protective suitcase that it came in, and we took it out and put it up on the bar there. That's Carson Palmer's Heisman. Yes, he
somewhat underappreciated, I think, but certainly unique. Don't we have a jersey from Landon Donovan when he was sick with the swine flu?
Yeah, USA Soccer, I think in the Confederation Cup.
That's down that hall, the second hallway, all the way down on the right-hand side.
Yeah, USA beat Spain in a Confederation Cup like 9 years ago.
And,
yeah.
And that's a used jersey. That's like a game-worn jersey.
Yeah, it's got grass stain.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. In fact, Weeks, our camera guy's walking down the hall to get a picture of that. Do you have a favorite piece of memorabilia in here, McLovin?
Yeah, I mean, whenever people ask me that, I always go with the Ryan Leaf jersey just because of the story behind it. That's my no-brainer that he had with the Colts jersey.
The fact that they had a jersey made up for Ryan Leaf on draft night with Peyton Manning tells you they weren't quite sure who they were taking in that war room. Contrary to popular belief, it felt like that draft room with the Colts was divided on Peyton Manning or Ryan Leaf, and they made up that jersey. And then they eventually gave it to Ryan, and then Ryan gave it to us. So we got a signed Kobe jersey, signed LeBron. We got a bumper from Tony Stewart.
Yeah, Tony Stewart wrecked his car at Daytona about a decade ago, and it burnt to a crisp for the most part, the car. And he said that's all that's left. It was sitting in the back room of his shop in Indiana or in Charlotte. And he goes, this will be pretty cool. And it arrived at here. And like a normal mailman brought it in, you know, like a normal mail person from the UPS. It's this big, long board. And he goes, what's in there? I go, you want to stick around and see? He goes, yep. Yeah. And he goes, oh, that's an original one.
Got a couple of Kelly Slater autographed surfboards. Yes, Todd.
You had this old school Yankee Stadium lights. I know in the old studio over the door, which
I have it
there somewhere, which is awesome.
It's right over my right shoulder, and then somebody put a stronger bulb in there, and it burnt through Welcome to Yankee Stadium.
What?
And there's right in the middle of it. It burnt through it. I one day I'm in here and I go, something's burning, and I turn around, and then the Yankee Stadium sign, this lighted sign, was smoking. And I went, uh-oh, that's not good. So I have it. It still works. I just have this burnt hole. Looks like you're looking into the sun there. Oh, I saw this where the Mets president, Sandy Alderson, says Tim Tebow expected back in 2021. Yes, McLovin, you're excited about that?
Oh, yeah. I can't believe this is still going on.
I know. Pretty amazing. How old is Tim? Is he 33? And still trying to make the show with the Mets. Maybe with his new owner, Steve Cohen. He's going to fast pass Tebow up there to make an appearance.
33.
Yeah, 33 years of age. Let me see. Brandon in Texas. Hi, Brandon. What's on your mind today?
Hey, what's going on, DP? It's Patrick Mahomes' voice over here.
All right.
And my thing is, I'm a huge college basketball fan, and I'm just kind of worried here that it doesn't seem like to me like they have a plan for, you know, what's going on, and they're just going to kind of wing it, it seems like, and it kind of worries me. What do you think about all that? Do you think the season's going to be able to go on? What do you see happening with it?
Yeah, I think that you have less people to keep an eye on. You're going to have students who have left campus. Now you just have basketball team, maybe football team on campus, and trying to keep everybody safe. You're not going to have fans in the stands. We've gotten this far during the pandemic with football. It feels like basketball will learn from that. I don't know if we're going to bubbleize March Madness. I don't know where we're going to be in March. But the way we are now, where we are now, I'm guessing we're going to have some basketball. It's going to be sporadic, and there are going to be cancellations. I think that's just the way of life in the world of sports. Yeah, Paulie.
It'd be great if that was actually Patrick Mahomes, and he just wants to chop up sports for a couple minutes every day. He's like calling in, talk some hoop, MLS.
And I've been cutting him short when he calls in. You know, you got like 30 seconds to say what you have to say.
He's running down the hall to the practice room.
Yeah. Final hour coming up. The Florida Gators quarterback, Kyle Trask, who I believe it's his Heisman Trophy to lose. He'll join us coming up. More phone calls as well. 2 hours in the books, one more to go. Seton Pauley, Fritz and McLevin, yours truly here on the Dan Patrick Show.